Well, I thank the Lord.
Amen.
I count this a precious privilege to be here.
Amen.
I count it the power of God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we come before you this evening, tonight, thanking you for your visitation. Thank you for the songs, the specials, the prayers, everything that's gone forth tonight. Lord, we ask you to bless your word tonight.
Please, Lord.
We ask you to anoint it. We ask you that you will accomplish what you have purposed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I have a title that I like to write, but since it's not convenient tonight, I hope you'll remember it. The title is God's Love, the Greatest Love Story Ever Told.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about how that most of us, most people, like to hear love stories. And might read some. We like to read about or hear a story about how a man, the love that a man might have for a woman, it warms our heart, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yes.
When we hear about it, we are encouraged, or we are, you know, it blesses us or makes us feel good when we hear all the sacrifices that the man makes for the woman that he loves. Some of those might include the beautiful flowers he brings to her. It might include how he prefers her. He shows that he's not selfish. He might open the door for her. When she goes to the table, he might pull out the chair for her that she can sit down. And the list goes on. But as we read those or hear those different things, we just have, it does something in our heart.
Yes.
And so we might even think about how that he loved her and he built this house for her, or had a home built, or bought a house, a home for them to live in. But you know something? I want to tell you the greatest story, love story tonight. This story is about God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and mankind, which reaches to you and me. It began many years ago, early before the world began. When God made man, he made him in his own image.
Yes.
And in his likeness. Let's go to Genesis 1 and let's read verses 26 and 27.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So you see, God made man. He made, in those days that he made the world, He made the stars, the moon, the light, the darkness, everything. Divide the light and darkness. And he made the animals. But he made man different. Because he made man in his own image and in his own likeness. Let's go now to chapter 2, verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul.
So this is what made man different from the animals. He made him with a soul. God loved man. Yeah. Man was his, I want to say, you know how the man loves the woman? And the woman is his pride and joy, so to speak.
Yeah.
And she's so special that he wants to do everything he can for him. God loved man like that.
Yes.
He made the animals. He made the other things, the trees and the plants and all. And he said it was good. As he made them each day, he saw it and said it was good. But it did something special for man.
Yes.
Man was set apart. He not only gave him life, but he gave him a living soul.
Yes.
Part of what God is an eternal God. And so we have an eternal part of us. Our soul is eternal. It will not go away, die, like the animals when they are here. When they die, that's the end of them. They just rot in the ground. That's the end of them. But man is going to go back to God that gave him. But a problem happened. He gave man a commandment. Let's go to, and man disobeyed him. Let's go to Genesis 2:15-18. And not only did he disobey him, but because he disobeyed God, he caused mankind, every living person that's born in this world, after they came into the world, after Adam and Eve has been born in sin because of the sin that the man did. Read Genesis 2:15-18.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him.
Read on. 19.
Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
Keep reading.
And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Okay, so stop there. So you see, God gave him made man, and then he gave man the woman as his helpmeet. But the problem came when the woman was tempted by the enemy, the devil. The devil, in the form of a serpent, tempted her to disobey God. Let's go to Genesis 3:6. And he told her that she said that we must not eat of the fruit from the tree in the midst of the garden, and the devil, because we'll die. And the Satan told her that you shall not surely die. You'll become as gods, knowing good and evil. But in the sixth verse, we see that she listened to the devil.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Okay. Now I want to tell you something. Had she done that, and he resisted it, no doubt God would have given her another wife. But by him partaking of that fruit, and the command was given to him. It was given to him first. But she knew better, and he knew better. And by him doing that, he plunged the whole world into sin. Now, why do we feel like this is God's love? Because God so loved the world that he provided a way that mercy could be extended to every single soul. He provided this way through Jesus Christ, that we could be forgiven and he could have mercy on us, and we could be brought back to that pure state that we had in the beginning. Man was without sin before they disobeyed God. But went through Jesus Christ, now we can live above sin. We can be forgiven for our sins. Yeah. We can now live a pure life. Romans 5, 6 through 8. Why is this the greatest love story ever told? Let's read.
Romans 5, 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. So you see, we weren't worthy of his goodness. We weren't doing the right thing. But because God loved us, he provided a way that we could be free from sin. We could be forgiven. We could be brought into a state that will be acceptable with God again. Let's go to John 3:16. We all know that. We could practically quote it.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Now stop a minute. Why is this such a wonderful love story? God loved us. Then in Romans it says he commended his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In this scripture, God so loved the world. It is his love that caused him to give his son. God gave his son, and his son gave his life, that we might not die, that we might not be punished, that we might not go to hell, that we might not have to suffer for our sins that we committed. We're not worthy of it. It's God's mercy. We're not worthy to be forgiven. We're not worthy to be allowed to go to heaven. Yeah. But yet God loves us so much. It's just like that precious jewel that the man has for his wife. She's precious to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything to happen to her. He wants everything for her, good for her. So God has done the same thing for us. Sometimes I think about, why do I live for God? Why? Because I'm afraid of hell? No, that's not good enough. Yes, we can't, should be afraid of hell.
Yes,
but
yes,
that's not good enough.
Yes.
Why I love him is because he loved me.
Amen.
Do you know,
amen,
when the man loves the woman, it makes her love him back.
That's right.
When he shows her all these kindness, you can't help but love him.
Yes.
Well, God shows us all this kindness. He shows us his great love to us, doing, giving everything, giving the utmost price, the ultimate price. You know, sometimes a man might go and he'll buy something really good for the lady, maybe spend a lot of money. But you know what? How many men die for them? How many? He might love her, and some do. Some will stand. If a car is coming, he might push her out of the way and do that. Christ died for us. God gave his only begotten son. He didn't have, like some people might, sacrifice one or two, but God gave his only begotten son. The only one he has. The best gift he could give.
Yes.
More than any man in this life cannot give a gift on that level. But God did. If we could just realize the love that God has for us, it should help us to respond to his love. It should help us live for him. It should be no sacrifice that we can make that's worthy. No sacrifice that we can make that's too hard, I mean, for us to give for him. If he tell us to go, we should go because we love him.
That's right.
If he tell us to stay, we should stay because he love him.
Yes.
If he tell us to talk or say something for him, we should do it because we love him. If he tells don't do something, we should not do it because we love him.
Yes.
But why do we love him that way? Because he's poured his love out on us.
Yeah.
Who? No man has given this kind of love, and no man can give the kind of love that God gives for us. Let's go to John 10, and let's read verses 7 through 18.
Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Stop just a minute. So Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. We are the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd. He cares for us. He cares so much for us that he lays down his life for the sheep. Read on.
And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Read on.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again.
Okay, stop just a minute. Jesus willingly laid down his life. Look at the love that we have poured out on us. The Father loved us to give his only begotten Son. The Son loved us to lay down his life. There's a song that we sing about the nails, I can't get it together. But when you think of the cross and Jesus dying on the cross, those nails is not what held him on that cross. It was his love. He could have called 10,000 of angels to get him down from there. He didn't. He chose not to because he loved us. The thorns that he bore on his brow and them beating those thorns in him, he took all of that because of his love for us.
Yes.
And so he took the spitting that they spit in his face, the shame. They took his own clothes off of him and put little whatever. They put a robe and then they mocked him. He did it for you and he did it for me.
Yes.
He took all of every kind of burden, them whipping him on his back, the lashes that he took on his back. He did it for you and he did it for me.
Yes.
Those lashes weren't just a regular belt that you get when you get a whipping from your parents. Mm-hmm. Those, what I understand, those whips had metal in them.
Yes.
And so when those soldiers came along and they unmercifully hit his back with the metal, no doubt, tearing his flesh over and over again, he took it for me. And he took it for you.
Yes.
This is God's love.
Yes. Yes.
This is the love that Jesus had for us. And then they pierced his side. Out of his side came blood and water. This is the fountain that we can claim, that we can go to, that we can get salvation through his blood that was shed on the cross.
Yes.
For me and for you.
Yes.
God's love, the greatest story, love story ever told. Let's go on. Read on.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Did you notice he said, no man taketh it from me? They thought they did. They nailed him to the cross. But what they didn't realize, he had power that he didn't have to stay there. He had power not to even do it, to go through it. In Gethsemane, he submitted his will to the Father. He said, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
And when those men came to him and they said, I'm looking for Jesus, he said, I am he. The power of his words caused those men to back out, down and fall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He had that kind of power.
Yes, amen.
That no man took it from him.
Amen.
But he laid it down. He did it for you. And he did it for me.
Yes, Lord.
And I have power to take it up again. He rose again through the power of God.
Yes.
And through his resurrection, we have freedom today. We have joy today. Jesus gave his life that we might be saved today. We might repent of our sins and be saved and free. We might have hope through Jesus.
Hebrews 6, verse 17 through 19. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul,
yes,
both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil.
Amen. So we have hope through Jesus Christ. We have joy through Jesus Christ. John 17 and 13. You know why she's getting that? The man that loves a woman, he gives her a certain amount of happiness, doesn't he?
Amen.
But you know something? The joy that God gives is inward joy.
Yes.
And it comes even when things are not going good. You might have difficult times when you get married. But through Christ, this joy will spring up in our hearts regardless of what our circumstances is. Let's go to John 17, 13.
John 17, 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
Amen. So you see how Jesus determined that we could have joy. Let's go also to John 14, 27. We have peace through Jesus Christ.
John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Peace we get through Jesus. And then, finally, most of all, we have eternal life. Luke 18, 28 to 30.
Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parent, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting.
Life everlasting. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life.
Amen.
Behold, what love.
Yes.